Tris and I have got this sort of competition going as to who can walk about the most with a microphone. We'll sort of take votes at the end as to who's won. We visited you a few times over the last few months, which has been a real pleasure, but this is the first time, actually, we've been allowed in your pulpit since lockdown. And I really felt God wants me this morning to talk a bit about the season we've come through and the season we are now in, because he wants us to be like the children of Issachar, who have understanding of the times and know what Israel is meant to do. One of the things I really quite enjoyed about lockdown was actually people messaging us, calling us, contacting us, quoting back to me bits of what we've been preaching for the last sort of few years. And actually there's people here this morning and some other people from this church who aren't able here to be this morning, who felt they just felt compelled to contact me in lockdown and remind me of what I know I brought to you several times over the past period of the prophetic shout that burst out of my belly. Do you remember? Remember that? This is going back, I don't know, 2018 or sometime like that. I was driving through Chulcompton, Spirit of the Lord came on me, burst out of my mouth like a volcano, and what came out was big change, big rearrange. It's going to seem strange, but do not be afraid. And what was even more fun, that most people completely misquoted it. But you'll also remember that over and over, you know, in the past years, I brought to you, like many other people I'm sure have brought to you, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18, going on into verse 19, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Behold, I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. And I don't know about you, by the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, I was getting sick and tired of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. We'd go to meetings in various places and they'd stand up and say, I'm going to preach today on Isaiah, and you know what's coming next. And you're, oh, please don't. So forgive me if I bored the pants off you in that season. But let me say this. The lockdown was not the big change. The lockdown was not the new thing. It was allowed by God to permit the preparation and to provoke the resetting and the realigning ready for the big change and for the new thing. Does that make sense? Tris had a picture very early on in lockdown of a big cruise liner heading full, I was going to say full steam ahead, but that's totally politically incorrect, whatever one's meant to say now, heading as fast as it can to its destination port. Everybody knew where it was going. Everybody knew exactly what they were going to do when they got there. Everybody was so excited and was so looking forward to it. But the captain of the ship gave the order for the ship to stop. Now, the ship is the church and the captain is Jesus. And before lockdown, it's like we all knew exactly where we were heading. We all knew exactly what church was meant to be like. We all knew exactly what a successful church was meant to look like. Now one of those big ships, it ain't easy to turn. It isn't easy to change its direction and maneuver. If you want to turn one of those big ships while it's sailing at speed, it turns only very, very slowly at a gentle arc. And actually, I believe that is what God was calling us to in the years leading up to what we've just gone through. It seemed like everybody was preaching, everybody was proclaiming, everybody was prophesying a new thing. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And we were preaching it. We were proclaiming it. We were praising God for it. And if we're honest, we did not deviate one degree to respond to it. Is that fair? So what does the captain of the ship do? The captain of the ship calls the ship to stop. And there's something else about one of those big cruise liners. It takes a long time for one of them to stop. We couldn't meet. Our meetings were stopped. Our plans and our programs were disrupted. And eventually, he got us all to stop. But another thing about those big ships is once they're stopped, they can turn on the sixpence. When I was school teaching, it was during the time of industrial action. I was teaching in Dover, and we had to leave the school premises at lunchtime, and we used to go and sit on the cliffs overlooking the Eastern Docks. And we'd watch the ferries coming in. And just to be safe, I made a point of never watching P&O ferries. But we just watched these big ferries coming in, and you'd hear the engines cut well out to sea. So that by the time they actually got inside Dover Harbour Wall, by the time they actually got into the dock, they'd come to a halt. But then we'd watch them, because in Dover they always dock backwards. In Calais they go nose in Dover they go in tail in. And once one of those big ships, and we're talking about a car ferry here, a cruise liner was enormously bigger than that. Once those ships were in the dock, they easily turned on their own length. It looked like watching a mini manoeuvring slowly. And God got us as a church, and the Captain Jesus was giving a clear order to turn the ship. We are no longer going to the destination which we thought we were. A call to rethink, reset, realign. To enter into a whole new thing, a whole new mindset, a whole new way of thinking, and set out on a whole new journey. And I want to say this, as Tris and I have visited you over the past months, we have been so encouraged and so excited. And as we've met with your elders and as we've talked with them and had fellowship with them, we've been so excited that you as a church have done exactly that. You've dared to hear Captain Jesus and let him turn the ship. And today I want to honor you as a church, because God wants to honor you as a church. As we were worshiping, I just had this incredible sense of a big grinning God looking at you. I just had this incredible sense during worship of God's pleasure with you as a people, that you've let him turn the ship to boldly go where no man has gone before. And one of the things I think Tris and I have found really difficult, really tough, really discouraging, and actually almost really depressing, is you are probably the only church we know for 30 years, 30 miles, that is actually doing that. There were so many leaders, so many churches that during lockdown were saying all the right things. We know God is calling to a new thing. We know we can't go back to the way it was. And so many of them said, you know, we knew it wasn't working. And we said, well, we could have told you that. And what happened as soon as dear Boris lifted all the limitations? Most churches rushed back to exactly the way they'd always done it, even though they told me it wasn't working. And God wants to honor you this morning, and God wants to express his pleasure with you this morning, because you have dared to hear the voice of Captain Jesus and let him turn the ship. Are you with me so far? And I almost sort of feel a bit redundant this morning. I almost feel like I sort of ain't needed here. As your elders and leaders and you people, it's like you're hearing all the right things and doing all the right things here. But let me just, you know, say a few points which I hope will just help you and help encourage you on the journey. Is that okay? Let me say this: we are not on a journey to a new season. The new season is a journey. Can you hear that? We are not on a journey to a new season. The new season is a journey. In the old season, everything was very stuck and very static and very samey. Oh, come on, you knew exactly what product was going to be served up when you turned up on a Sunday. It was like the old season was a season of the temple. Same place, same time, same channel. The new season is a season a lot more like a tabernacle season, where the people followed the cloud. And there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And when the cloud moved, they moved. But when the cloud settled, they settled. If it was for one day, one week, one month, or even one year, when the cloud moved, they moved, but when the cloud settled, they settled. And that, people, is what the new season is going to be like for you. There is going to be times of change and times of consolidation. There's going to be times of advancing and times of just enjoying. Some have heard and have got it that God is looking for a new thing. But they're busy looking for the new plan. They're busy looking for the new model. I want to put it in black and white and save you a lot of time. There is no new plan. There is no new model. There is no new model. As Trisha said, the last season was full of plans and programs, methods and models, systems and structures. We're not just changing one for another. And if that is how we are thinking, I'm sorry, people, we are completely missing the point. In Isaiah 43, God says, I am doing a new thing. And he don't stop. It's his nature. It's his character. The verb there is in the present tense, which means another way you could translate it is like God says, I do new things. I do new things. And the minute something becomes old and stable and static and predictable, then I don't know what it is, but it ain't God anymore. The old season was all about plans and programs. The new season is living close to him, living full of him, living attentive to him, living listening to him, and living obedient to him. This is a season for Samuels who say, yes, Lord, speak, Lord, your servant hears. This is a season for a people who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Not a once and for all hearing and we move into a new model and a new structure and a new plan. No, we live as a listening, hearing people. We live waiting to hear from the Lord before we step. This is a season to learn what it means for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Some of you, like me, have been just churning that out at the end of services, like ad infinitum and whatever. But have we ever got the revelation of what that says? We are meant to be fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. We charismatics think we're Holy Spirit people. Really. Tris and I were visiting a church recently, and it was one of those churches where you make the mistake of turning up on time and realize you're the only people there. But unfortunately, the pastor's wife turned up at the same time, so we weren't able to nip off for a coffee, which is what we thought was a good plan B at that moment. And she, oh, Chris and Tris, you're just in time for the prayer meeting. And we realized we were the prayer meeting. And actually, there was somebody there, a gentleman, who just held a microphone, and they were one of those churches who thought a prayer meeting was somebody walking backwards and forwards at the front praying while everybody else just ramadamading-dong, shimmy-shoo, bop-shawadi, or whatever. And the gentleman stopped and said, now we're going to pray this. Lord, come and have your way. And I'm thinking, this is good. This is good. But unfortunately, he didn't stop there. Our prayer for about 5 minutes was, Lord, come and have your way. Bless our program. One of the things I do when we travel, and I do it a bit tongue-in-cheek, and actually I didn't even do it this morning, is I ask the leaders, what's the plan? Because there's this some verse in Leviticus that charismatic leaders seem to have found that the correct answer to that is to put on a religious voice and say, oh, there isn't a plan. And you know full well there is, just like there is here this morning. If I'm still preaching at 1:30, you're going to be well fed up with me. But this one pastor who was a good friend, he put on such a religious voice. I was impressed. If Jesus sounds as holy as that when we get to heaven. And he put on a religious voice and he said, Chris, we always try to make room for the Holy Spirit in the program. And you know me, I'm not particularly diplomatic, and I couldn't help it. It just burst out of my mouth. There he is, Chris, we always try to make space for the Holy Spirit in the program. And I just blurted, and I bet he's well chuffed. We got a friend of ours who's a worship leader in quite a large church, and the pastor pulled him aside one day, put his arm round him and said, I want you to know this morning you were free to do whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. I want God to move this morning. I want to break out of the restraints this morning. I want you to be free to do whichever way the Holy Spirit leads you. You have 22 minutes. Any of this sound at all familiar? Russia has its own type of instant coffee. Am I allowed to talk about Russia? Is that okay? We're meant to be there right now. And then this minor incident is happening and we're frustrated, we're disappointed. This is the third time we planned a trip and organized a trip and then something comes up that stops us. My goodness, the devil goes to great lengths to stop Tris and I ministering in Russia. But Russia have their own type of instant coffee, which is called Cafe Maxim. And a few years ago, Russia discovered that in the West, coffee bars like Costa and Starbucks are really, really popular, and they wanted to have their own coffee shops, which they call kafenyas. And I went into one in our city, and they had a whole menu of, you know, all the types. They had the Americanos and the lattes and the cappuccinos and whatever. So I said, I'll have a cappuccino. And what do? They take a spoonful, tablespoonful, of the same old, terrible instant coffee Maxim, put it in a mug, pour on the boiling water, but wait for it, people. They take out of the fridge one of those cans of squirty cream. And I looked at this and, you know, perhaps I'm odd, but I'm watching this and I'm thinking, that's just like charismatic church, really. The same old thing in the same old way. We just put a little bit of psh on top and we think we're special. It's like a room that we've decorated all nice, just to our taste, just as we like it, just what makes us feel comfortable. We've chosen the wallpaper, we've chosen the paint, we've chosen the fabrics, we've chosen the furniture, I almost said drapes, I'm in the wrong country, we've chosen the curtains, we've bought the pretty ornaments, we've even laid out the pretentious show off to the guests magazines on the coffee table. You won't believe I did this, but we actually had a lady come to dinner this week and she'd come a month earlier and I looked and I realized that the books that were placed on our coffee table were in exactly the same place as when she came previously, so I moved them to make it look like we'd read them. And you're all laughing because you can totally relate to that. But it's like a room just like we wanted it, just like we would have. And we just open the window a little bit, just to let in enough air to be refreshing, but not enough air to ruffle the curtains, not enough air to mess up the magazine carefully placed on the coffee table, not enough air to knock over the ornaments. People, that is how we've done charismatic church. And God is saying to us, will you please throw open the window? In John chapter 3, verse, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and he says this, the wind blows where it wishes. If you read the Russian Bible, it don't say wind at all because the Greek word there is the Greek word pneuma, which in Greek can mean either wind or spirit. So that passage in when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, he just as much said, the Spirit blows wherever he wishes. God is looking for a people, looking for a leadership, but above and beyond that, looking for a people who will dare to let the Spirit blow where he wishes. The old season was full of plans and programs and systems and structures and methods and models. The new system, God is looking for a people who are Spirit-filled, Spirit-fellowshipping, and Spirit-following. This ain't just about doing Sundays in a different way. Are you willing to hear that challenge? Are you willing to continue this journey and be that people? Spirit-filled, Spirit-fellowshipping, Spirit-following people. Do you know the new season is like driving a car where you don't know the destination? You just listen to the voice on the sat-nav. The new season is like doing a jigsaw where you don't have a picture on the box. All you do is place the next piece that is given to you. That is how God wants us to move forward. And I ain't just talking here to the elders or talking to the leaders. I'm not just talking to those people who stand at the front with a microphone. You see, the old season was like a master painter would come and stand at the front. And for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, he would paint. And we'd all sit there and look. And at the end of that time, we could see what an incredible picture of Jesus it was. And what an incredible painter he was. But you can get exactly the same picture in a different way, and it's called a jigsaw, where each one brings their peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, Paul writes to the church, whenever you come together, each one has a hymn, a psalm, a word, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Do you know the Greek word there interpreted whenever? Do you know what it literally means? Whenever. Whenever. It actually literally translates as every when. Every when you get together. It's an each one thing. It doesn't say once occasionally in a special service. It doesn't say in a small group, because of course you can't make this happen in a big gathering. It says every when the church is together, each one. Do you know what the Greek word each one actually means? Guess. Each one. Turn to the person next to you, look them in the eye and say, each one is you. Oh, but Chris, God doesn't give me spiritual gifts like he gives Barbara. That's because you're thinking wrong. A spiritual gift is not a gift God gives to you. A spiritual gift is a gift that God gives to somebody else through you. How many of you are born again this morning? How many of you are saved? There's about half a dozen that aren't. We'll finish with a salvation call. If you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you. The minute you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. And if the Holy Spirit is inside of you, every spiritual gift is already inside of you. So it's not a question of waiting for something to plop out of the ceiling on a Sunday or in a meeting. It's already in you. And God is wanting us to long to let that out to bless others. To learn how to recognize it, how to release it, how to minister it to others. All of this, how are we doing? Oh my goodness, okay. Stephen said I could do whatever I like this morning. I asked him if that included buying ice cream and going for a walk along the canal, and apparently not. And now you're wishing I had. All of this, I'll wrap this up as quick as I can, bear with me. Is this okay? All of this has one enormous prerequisite, which has always been the prerequisite of the church that Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 18. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you had time to turn back to the beginning of that epistle, it's not addressed to the pastors, elders, leaders, or anybody within a title. It doesn't say it's not written to people who hold microphones. It's written to the saints in Ephesus. That is every single believer, every single person in the church. He writes to them and says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means a daily time with him. Like we've shared already, that means resetting the imbalance in our lives. That means seeking first the kingdom of God, and God adds all the other stuff. It means daily fellowshipping with him, daily hearing and listening with him. It means doing what we can to live right, because above all else, he is the Holy Spirit. It means doing the best we can to escape from being so British, where we have to be so negative, so pessimistic, and so grumbling. Because my Bible tells me in Thessalonians, all of that quenches the Holy Spirit. It means doing what we can to get rid of bad attitudes and bad words coming out of our mouth, because my Bible tells me that grieves the Holy Spirit. God is looking for a spirit-filled, spirit fellowshipping, spirit following people, and just seeing where that takes us. I've said already that there's no new plan, there's no new model. Not in California, not in Australia, not even in the book of Acts. And I get nervous with those people who are trying to maneuver this season by taking Acts chapter 2 as a model for them to copy. Something that we are meant to emulate in today's society. People, listen to me, that was then, this is now. That was Jerusalem, this is Bradford-on-Avon. The early church didn't follow a blueprint. You show me anywhere in the Bible where Jesus says, this is how you need to do a church meeting. It's almost the area more than anything where Jesus was extraordinarily silent. Jesus didn't give them a blueprint. The early church didn't follow a blueprint. It was spontaneous. It wasn't planned, it just happened. It was a people filled and overflowing with the love for Jesus and the life of Jesus. It was a people filled and overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And we read in the book of Acts how that came out and what that looked like then. And I can't wait to see what it's going to look like in 2022 in Bradford-on-Avon. A few weeks ago, we had a Zoom call with somebody I hadn't talked to for over 20 years. Last time I talked to them was a few weeks before I moved to Russia in 2001. And the last conversation I'd had with this person was, God had given her such a vision, such a message she felt for the body of Christ, such a passion, and nothing was happening. And she, Chris, what can I do? What can I do? I've got to bring. And I said, you can't do anything. You just got to trust God. And we connect 20 years later, and this lady has now got a major international ministry. She now stands on stages throughout the world of over 10,000 people there in the congregation. She does big conferences, big churches. She had invitations from around the world. She's written books. She's made videos. She runs a podcast. Now, I know those are not the things that matter, and I ain't got time to preach about how the church radically needs to set itself free from the value system of the kingdom of this world and get into the value system of the kingdom of God. But I also see the things that matter, because I'm seeing thousands of people saved through her ministry. I'm seeing thousands of people healed through her ministry. I'm seeing thousands of lives changed through her ministry. Seeing real miracles happen. Not just there's somebody here with a headache. Of course there's somebody here with a headache. We all drink too much coffee. And I said, Daphne is her name. I said, Daphne, how did this happen? And she said this, and listen to this morning. She said, I just said yes to God. I just went on saying yes. And then she said, half the time I didn't even know what I was saying yes to. Can you get this morning? When Jesus called Peter and Andrew and James and John, come follow me. And the Bible says immediately they left their nets and followed him. They didn't know what that meant. They didn't know what that entailed. They didn't know what was going to involve a month later, a year later. They didn't know what they were saying yes to. Or they knew that this was Jesus. And that was enough. God's looking for a people who will say yes. Simple as that. You're doing good, church. You really are doing good. But the second thing that lady said was, I just went on saying yes. Can you stand up just a minute? Just close your eyes if you would. I wish I could call you all forward, lay hands on you, knock you over, zap kapow you, have you flap like fish, give you lots of goosebumps, spontaneously combust, and you'd all go home filled with the Holy Ghost. And actually, if we did that, it'd be lots of fun, wouldn't it? Because you've all tasted the coffee before and you aren't that fussed about that. And you probably would feel something and you probably would feel on fire when you went home. But I tell you what, you'd have gone by Monday lunchtime. Because what we're talking about today isn't the charismatic goosebump. It isn't the sensation on a Sunday. It isn't some powerful anointed man knocking you to the floor like Skittles. It's your life choices. It's your life choices. And if this is what you want, church, and if this is what you're after, let him reset the imbalance. Let him rebuild the bridges. Let him repair the roads. People filled with the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, following the Holy Spirit, are people who are willing to say yes. Don't know where it means, don't know where it's leading, but that's not what matters. All that matters is they know this is Jesus, and that's enough. So just close your eyes. I'm very aware time has gone. Just close your eyes, and if you're comfortable, raise your hands. And you, where you're at, out of your heart, say yes. This isn't a salvation call. This isn't saying yes to Jesus as a sort of saviour of your life. This is saying yes to Jesus. We're going to take this journey. Yes, Jesus, we're willing to forget the former things and not dwell in the past. And we know it's uncomfortable, because actually we quite liked it the way it was. Saying yes, that you're going to step out of this boat, and if it ain't him, you're going to sink. Yes, Jesus, we're willing to follow you, Jesus. And we know that this big change and this big rearrange is going to seem strange and even be a bit scary at times, but we say yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Because the King of Glory wants to come in. King of Glory is ready to come in. Proclamation, a promise. But is preceded by a preparation. Welcome in the King of Glory. Welcome in the King of Glory. Welcome in the King.